So far in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has asked two very pertinent questions. And that is the beauty of Vedanta, of our spiritual studies, that the student has complete freedom to ask questions, even at times to disagree with the teacher, but it obviously has to be done respectfully and pertinently. Like in the sixth chapter, when Bhagavan is talking about Dhyana Yoga or the Yoga of Meditation, Arjuna says that, "O Bhagavan, even though you have described this Yoga of Meditation, I do not see the validity of it because the mind is chanchala, chanchalam hi mana Krishna." And Bhagavan answers, "Asamshaya mahabaho mano nurdigraham chalam. Abhyase na tu kaunteya, virage na cha grihyate." He says, "Yes, I agree with your question, but the mind can be controlled with detachment and with practice." So the point I'm making is that in true spiritual teaching, the student has the total freedom to disagree, to question. If some point is not clear, nowhere in Bhagavan, in the Bhagavad Gita, says, "Thou shalt do it or thou shalt suffer in hell forever," or, "I am God and therefore you have to listen to me." Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, the choice is given to the student, do this or do this, and then the consequences are explained, which we will see throughout. The same theme pervades the entire Bhagavad Gita. So the two questions Arjuna asked, in the third chapter he asked, which is better for me, karma or jnana? Because he felt that this war was evil, was wrong, and so he wanted to run away and put on orange clothes and go to the forest and meditate. And Bhagavan tells him that, first of all, nobody perishes. That's the highest knowledge, because all of us are this Atma. For those of you who are new, just to briefly go over this chart, this is the BMI chart by Swami Chinmayanandaji. So, body, mind and intellect are my equipments. With the body I perceive the objects, with the mind I feel the emotions, and with the intellect I think the thoughts, and V represents vasanas or my desires or tendencies, and Om represents God's presence, which we call as Atma, the consciousness. And so Bhagavan says in the second chapter that all of us are that. Natvevaham jatu nasam natvam neme janai dipaha. He says, all of us were always there, you, I, and even these kings. And there will be no time, na chaiva bhavishyamaha. There is no time when we will not be there. Because we are all eternal, we are all that Atma, the Om, the consciousness. Yes, this body that we have occupied will perish, obviously. And that's what Bhagavan says, that is inevitable. But we are all that highest consciousness. So the Bhagavad Gita starts with the highest knowledge. And then Arjuna says, why are you asking me to engage in this war when war we know is essentially wrong? And Bhagavan explains it very clearly in the third chapter that you are not fighting for your individual goal. In the second and third chapter, he makes it very clear that your goal is higher. Your goal is, you're fighting for good against evil. And how do you work? Not as Arjuna, not as an individual soldier, but as a representative of the good side against the evil. But do your duty as a karma yoga. So instead of just doing karma and activity, but do it as karma yoga. And karma yoga we have studied before, but just to summarize, what is karma yoga, which was the entire third chapter? Doing unselfish actions, dedicated to the Lord. Whatever abilities I have are given by to me by the Lord. Whatever work comes in front of me is His wish, is the Lord's wish. And so I do it without I or my, without any doership. And while working, I do not worry about the results. I do my best at that moment, whatever the work comes in front of me, and whatever result comes, I accept it as God's prasad. So Karma Yoga has so many factors which are explained in the third chapter. And in the fourth chapter, as we studied, Bhagwan talks about the Yajna principle, how to control your life, live a life of self-control, and dedicate all activities to me. And in that he says, highest is the Yajna, is the Gyan, the Yajna, where you sacrifice ignorance in the fire of knowledge. So what he says is that Jnana is the highest knowledge and karma is the action. So do Karma Yoga and then you will be ready for the highest knowledge, which is I am that consciousness, the self. Then in the fifth chapter, Arjuna asks another question. That Bhagwan, sometimes you say Karma Yoga is better, sometimes Karma Sannyas. And last week we had talked about that Karma Yoga is the stage one, where when I do activities dedicated to the Lord, then slowly when my mind becomes pure, then I become ready for sannyas, where I give up the doership and ultimately even give up the worldly attachments, and my whole goal in life is spiritual unfoldment. So it's a gradual process. Karma sannyas cannot happen suddenly. What Arjuna wanted to just, you know, in the middle of the battle, put on orange clothes and go to the forest. He says, you are not ready for karma sannyas. For you, it is karma yoga. You are not ready to give up all work. And last week, we had talked about that even in the family life, as we grow from student to householder, then as you are retiring, slowly we withdraw from worldly activities and spend more time in spiritual pursuit. But there may be some people like the Swamiji's in the Chinmaya Mission who did not go through Grahastha and Vanaprastha straight away from college. They had this desire and they straight away went to sannyas, karma sannyas, where they put on orange clothes and devote their whole life to study, to the self-unfoldment, and ultimately to service, to teaching. So it depends on your level of maturity, and this topic will be continued today also. He will talk again about the difference between Karma Yoga and Karma Sannyas. So verse number 3, chapter 5. Neyasa Nitya Sannyasi. Yo na dveshti na kankshati. Nirdvandvo hi mahabaho. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Together, neyasa nitya sannyasi. Yo na dveshti na kankshati. Nirdvandvo hi mahabaho. Sukham bandhat pramuchyate. So neya, O Arjuna, it is to be known. You should know, everybody should know, that who is a sannyasi? Because Arjuna wanted to take sannyas. So sannyasi is not only wearing orange clothes. So nitya sannyasi, who is the sannyasi? Yaha na dveshti na kankshati. He neither hates nor expects. So true sannyasi is one who neither hates nor expects, and nirdvandvo, and he is beyond the pair of opposites. We'll talk about that. Whenever Bhagavan says he, means indeed, he wants to emphasize this point. O Mahabaho, O Arjuna, the great mighty armed Arjuna, one who is nirdvandva, who is beyond the pair of opposites, sukham bandhat pramuchyate. Sukham here means easily from bandha, from bondage, pramuchyate, gets freed. Muchyate is freed, pramuchyate is prakarshena muchyate, totally free. So he is totally free of bondage when he goes beyond the pair of opposites. So what is the qualities of a sannyasi? Neither hates nor expects, beyond the pair of opposites, and free from all bondages. So these are the four qualifications of a sannyasi. So the first point that we have to understand that Karma Yoga and Karma Sannyasa are two stages of development depending on my maturity. A person who is starting the spiritual journey, first of all, we are doing karma, just selfish actions. Then from selfish actions, you go to Karma Yoga, that is unselfish actions. And then you can talk about giving up the doership and working only for the highest goal. So it depends on my maturity. One person has to go through Karma Yoga and then go through Karma Sannyas. And as we mentioned, another person like Buddha, he did not need to. He straight away, directly could go towards Sannyasa. So it depends on my emotional maturity and my spiritual maturity. The example they do give is like you go to a Toyota dealership and you have $25,000 in your car, in your pocket, in your bank account. And you say, I want to buy a Lexus. So he'll say, sir, $25,000 will not buy you a Lexus. You can buy a Camry. For $25,000, you can buy a Camry. And Camry and Karma Yoga and Karma Sannyasa is the same. So Camry is Nitya Lexus. Lexus and Camry are both made by the same manufacturer. The car quality is the same. The engine quality is the same. The purpose of the car is the same. Will get you from point A to point B. But if you have $25,000, buy a Camry. If you have $50,000, then you can buy a Lexus. It does not mean the Lexus is being brought down when he says Camry and Lexus are same. What he's saying is, yes, your goal is Lexus. And that car obviously has more comfort, more features, is a better, but the essential reliability of both is the same. So if you can accumulate enough money to get 50,000, then definitely you can buy a Lexus. So similarly, Karma Yoga is for us who are not yet at that level where we can give up the family, give up that. So we keep on working for the benefit of the family, for the benefit of society. And as we slowly mature, slowly we can accumulate enough spiritual wisdom, just as the person from Camry accumulates enough to buy a Lexus. So as my wisdom accumulates, I can mature to Karma Sannyas, or giving up the doership and giving up even the family attachments. So Bhagwan says there are two things. He does not hate anybody and he does not expect anything. So hate, why does he mention? Because Arjuna had a lot of anger. See, when he went into the battlefield in the first chapter, he says, I want to see this evil Duryodhana and his evil army. Because he had been treated very badly. He was cheated out of his kingdom and he had to spend 12 years in the forest. And 1 year in hiding, he had to act like a woman, like a eunuch. He had to wear women's clothes and teach dancing, the greatest warrior of his time. So he had a lot of anger and he said that if you want to develop sannyas, first thing you have to give up is hatred. See, a sannyasi cannot have anger. And actually anybody, even a karma yogi, anybody who is serving, the moment you have hatred or you have anger, then you have fallen from the spiritual path. So he says, na dveshti, na kangshati, does not expect anything. Because what happens is that in our life, we expect that this person will give me happiness, this object will give me happiness, this situation. So vyakti, vastu and paristhiti. But a true sannyasi depends on the Lord, depends on himself. And what he says, there are three basic needs we have: food, shelter, and clothing. And once this person has comfortably, has enough food to eat, has a comfortable shelter, has clothing, then his no longer at the after that, his goal becomes spiritual. So that is true spiritual growth. Where, yes, I need to have my food, shelter and clothing, but excessive accumulation where I spend my whole life in just acquiring these three things, roti, kapda, makan, that is basically what we all need. But beyond that, once I have comfortably settled, and most of us are very comfortable, then my goal should be higher. And pairs of opposites will come in everybody's life. You know, at the body level, there will be illness. At the mind level, there will be joy and sorrow. At the intellect level, success and failure. I have actually a very beautiful story. This is my own personal experience. This is a patient of mine. His name is Brent McClanahan. He's very famous because he was the running back for the Minnesota Vikings, and he played in the Super Bowl. And he was the top running back of his time. This was in the 60s. Tremendous, very good player. And he actually took the Vikings to the Super Bowl. That's how good he was. But unfortunately, he fumbled in the Super Bowl. So people know him for he fumbled in the Super Bowl, not for all the years that effort he put in. And then he had so many injuries that he had to actually stop playing football because, you know, now they are finding these injuries, traumatic encephalopathy, and he had that. And so he gave up football, and then he did his master's and became a school teacher. Instead of saying, oh, my life is ruined, he did his master's, became a school teacher in South High in Bakersfield. And he was awarded Teacher of the Year in California. That's how good a teacher he was. So situations happen, but instead of getting discouraged, he said, let me take up a new career. And ultimately, even he had to give up teaching because he developed dementia because of the football injuries. And now he can't swallow and he comes to me periodically. And even now, when you ask him, how are you? His answer is, I am blessed. Never I have once heard him complain that I am unhappy, I am miserable, the NFL treated me badly. No, I am blessed. So that is the kind of an individual where no matter what life's, you know, problems come, he always remembers the Lord. In fact, I then wrote him a letter that he has, you know, football-related injury, and then the NFL actually gave him additional benefits. So the point is that in life, problems come to everybody. But if I am able to withstand that, and then compared to that, our problems look very small, right? Oh, my coffee was cold today, or my husband didn't smile at me, or my car is, you know, old. The little problems we get so upset about. And look at this guy. You know, he's always smiling. I have never seen him unhappy. This is, I sometimes get so inspired when he comes to my office that look at what, you know, what he has gone through. Swami Vivekananda ji said that if you expect that things will always be good and I will always meet good people and life will never have problems, it's like saying there will always be day, there will never be night. Is that going to happen? No. Day has to be accompanied by night. So joy has to be accompanied by sorrow. Nirdvandvo. So remain the same. Yes, sorrows will come. You deal with them. Joys come. You enjoy. We're not saying that you don't enjoy. But when you are going through these joy and sorrow, remain attached and say, I'm blessed. That to me is such a beautiful saying. The Lord is always blessing us. And even when sorrows come, it is a way for me to evolve. And why does he say bandhat pramuchyate? Because sense organs are always bound to sense objects. Indriyas indriyas yarthe raga dveshav vyavasthitav tayorna vasham agache tau hi yasya paripanthinav. He says in the sense organs, they are always attached to sense objects. And you always have likes and dislikes. I like this, I don't like this. Like if I ask you, what is your favorite color? You say, I like blue, I like to see blue. If I like blue, that means what? I don't like brown, I don't like gray, I don't like green. I don't like them as much. So, or what kind of food you like? Somebody will say, I like Mexican food. Chinese, it's okay, I can like. So immediately the sense organs, whether it's taste or sight or ear, start saying, I like this, I don't like this. So Bhagavan says, tayorna vasham agachet tau hyasya paripanthina. They are your enemies. If you let them control you, if you let the sense organs control you, and same thing about taste. They say you should be balanced about situations. And bondage comes when I say I like this, I don't like this, I want this, I don't like want this, this is mine and this is not mine. Talking about mine, even when people go to a retreat, go for a 1 week retreat, in PRC or anywhere, what they'll do is they'll start sitting in the same chair every day for 2 days, 3 days. They're sitting. Fourth day, if somebody is sitting on the chair, he says, "Why is he sitting on my chair? Since when did it become your chair? 1 week ago, you were not even here." And so we get so attached to my chair, my seat, even my house. It's all temporary. Whether the seat is for 1 week, house is for 30 years. Eventually, you have to leave it. So do not get so attached to things and beings, because everything, sab chhod ke jaane, everything we have to leave. So be free from bondage, because when we are attached to things, then the bondage comes. So work without attachment, without bondage, and without getting tied down to things like mine and I. I was reading a very good commentary where they talk about jackfruit. I don't know anybody here from Kerala? I think jackfruit, how many of you have eaten jackfruit? It's a favorite in Kerala. Okay, a lot of people have. Now, there is a trick to eating jackfruit. I didn't know that. I read about it. It says that when you try to eat jackfruit, first when you try to cut it or skin it, it gets stuck to your hands. And if you put it in your mouth, it gets stuck to your lips and you can't even talk. So what is the secret? Put oil on your hands before you are peeling the jackfruit and cutting, and put oil in your lips so it doesn't get stuck. Otherwise, you can't eat it. You can't work with it. So similarly, in the world, we get so attached to objects, we get so caught up. So they say, use the oil of renunciation. Use the oil of renunciation when you're of detachment. So when you're working in the world, do not get caught up like in a jackfruit, how you get caught and you can't speak. So similarly, in the world, when we get so attached to things and objects, then you're unable to function. So that's why they say deal with life like you deal with a jackfruit. Put the oil of detachment. In the 15th chapter, he says, with the acts of detachment, this world which will asanga shastrena dridena chitva. Detach with the acts of detachment, because this world is compared to a tree, and you get so bound or so caught up in the tree of this world, of this samsara. So detach yourself and function in the world. Again, detach does not mean love, but it means do not expect happiness from somebody. Do not put the key of your happiness in somebody else's pocket. Keep it with you or with the Lord. And we'll talk about that a little more in the next verse.